Hello, my love. Welcome back to The Family Architect. I want to speak to something that sits heavy on so many mothers, the belief that a good mother is one who gives everything, who sacrifices herself endlessly, who places her needs at the bottom of the list or doesn't put them on the list at all. Sound familiar? This is the myth of self-sacrifice, and today we're going to bust it wide open because here's the truth. Ignoring your needs doesn't make you a better mother. It makes you a burnt out one. And burnt out mothers can't give the love, presence, or patience they long to. This understanding is central to the regulated mother method because regulation starts with recognizing that you matter too. Let me start by acknowledging how deeply embedded this myth is in our culture. The myth of self-sacrifice is generational. We've inherited decades, maybe centuries, of messaging that told women, be quiet, be good, be small, be everything to everyone. Your worth is measured by how much you give. Many of us watched our own mothers live this way, running themselves into exhaustion, resentment, or even illness. We saw them put everyone's needs first, always. We learned by watching that love equals sacrifice, that worth equals service, and that rest equals selfishness. But here's what we didn't see: the cost, the resentment that builds when we give from an empty cup, the way depletion makes you less patient, less present, less able to show up as the mother you want to be. We didn't see how this pattern of self-sacrifice actually undermines the very relationships it's meant to protect. When you constantly override your needs, your nervous system never gets to recover. It's like trying to drive a car with the fuel light flashing day after day. Your system stays in a state of chronic stress, chronic depletion. And that leads to shorter tempers, less patience, constant guilt, and the feeling of being one meltdown away from breaking, which means the very thing you're trying to avoid, hurting your child or damaging connection, becomes more likely when you deny your needs. This is the tragic irony of the self-sacrifice myth. It creates the opposite of what it promises. Let me tell you about Maria, a mother I worked with who embodied this pattern completely. She was up every morning at 5 a.m., making elaborate lunches, preparing everything for the day. She stayed up till midnight doing laundry, answering emails, cleaning the house. She never asked for help because she believed good mothers handle everything themselves. Maria came to me because she was snapping at her kids constantly. She felt like a terrible mother because she couldn't be patient anymore. She was exhausted, resentful, and guilty all at the same time. When we explored her beliefs about motherhood, she said something I'll never forget. I thought if I just gave more, sacrificed more, my kids would feel more loved. But they keep telling me I'm grumpy all the time. This is what the myth of self-sacrifice does. It convinces us that depletion equals devotion, but children don't need depleted mothers. They need regulated ones. Now let's flip this story entirely. When you meet your needs, you model to your child that self-respect is normal, that rest is valuable, that love doesn't require depletion. Think about it. Do you want your child to grow up believing they have to sacrifice themselves to be loved? Do you want them to learn that their needs don't matter? Of course not. So the most powerful way to teach them otherwise is to live differently yourself. This is what we mean when we talk about parenting by design rather than by default. Instead of unconsciously repeating the patterns you learned, you're making conscious choices about what you want to model for your children. Let me share Sophie's story. She was a mother in my community who used to stay up till midnight every night, folding laundry, prepping lunches, scrolling through emails. She thought if I just push harder, I'll finally feel on top of it. Instead, she felt exhausted and, yes, resentful. When she began honoring her needs, going to bed earlier, asking her partner to share the load, even booking a regular yoga class, something beautiful happened. Not only did she feel calmer, but her kids noticed. Her daughter actually said, "Mum, you're laughing more now." That's what happens when you drop the myth. Your needs become everyone's benefit. When you're regulated, rested, and resourced, you show up as a better version of yourself. You have more patience, more creativity, more joy to share. But let's address the guilt that comes up around this. Many mothers tell me, "But I feel selfish when I take time for myself. I feel guilty asking for help. Shouldn't my children come first?" Here's what I want you to understand. There's a difference between being self-centered and being self-aware. Self-centered means only considering your own needs at the expense of others. Self-aware means recognizing that you have needs too, and that meeting them actually serves everyone. You're not choosing between your needs and your children's needs. You're recognizing that your well-being and theirs are interconnected. A regulated mother creates a regulated household. A depleted mother creates stress for everyone. This is particularly important if you've taken the Awakening Trigger Map quiz and discovered your archetype, because each pattern has specific ways that the self-sacrifice myth shows up. If you're the overwhelmed heart, you might believe that asking for help means you're failing. You carry the weight of everyone's emotions and needs, but you don't feel worthy of support yourself. For you, reclaiming your needs looks like asking for help before you collapse. Your worth isn't in doing it all, it's in being human. Let me tell you about Rachel, an overwhelmed heart. She was managing 3 kids' schedules, her elderly mother's needs, and a part-time job. She never asked her partner for help because she believed she should be able to handle it all. She ended up having panic attacks in the school car park because her nervous system couldn't handle it anymore. When she learned to ask for specific help, "Can you handle bedtime tonight? I need an hour to decompress," everything shifted. Not only did she feel better, but her partner stepped up in ways she didn't expect. Her children started offering to help too because they could see she was struggling. If you're the silenced child, you might have learned that your needs are burdensome, that expressing them causes problems. For you, reclaiming your needs starts small. Begin by naming tiny needs out loud. "I need 5 minutes to breathe. I need to finish this thought. I need some quiet right now." Emma was a silenced child who couldn't even identify what she needed, let alone ask for help. We started by having her notice throughout the day, "What do I need right now?" Sometimes it was water. Sometimes it was a hug. Sometimes it was just acknowledgement that she was doing a hard thing. Learning to name these needs was the first step to meeting them. If you're the hidden rage, you might think having needs makes you weak or selfish. You've learned to push through everything, to be strong no matter what. For you, reclaiming your needs includes using movement and boundaries as self-care, not just bubble baths and candles. Jessica was hidden rage and she thought self-care was frivolous. But when she learned that going for a run or having a dance party in her kitchen was actually nervous system regulation, it clicked. She needed ways to move the energy through her body, not just ways to relax. If you're the hypervigilant protector, you might believe that rest needs to be earned, that you can only relax when everything is perfect and everyone is safe. For you, reclaiming your needs means practicing rest without productivity. You don't have to earn stillness. Lisa was a hypervigilant protector who couldn't sit still unless every task was done. Learning to rest while there were still dishes in the sink felt revolutionary. She had to practice trusting that she could take breaks and the world wouldn't fall apart. If you're the numb resigner, you might have disconnected from your needs entirely because feeling them was too painful or overwhelming. For you, reclaiming your needs means inviting joy back in tiny doses. A song you love, a walk outside, a moment of sunshine on your face. Karen was a numb resigner who had stopped enjoying everything because it felt too risky to want things. We started by having her notice one small thing each day that brought her a tiny spark of pleasure. Eventually, those sparks became flames. But here's something crucial I want you to understand. Meeting your needs isn't just about self-care activities. It's about fundamental shifts in how you see yourself and your worth. It's about recognizing that you're not just a mother. You're also a woman with dreams, desires, and legitimate needs. It's about understanding that your well-being matters, not just because it serves others, but because you matter. Period. This shift from self-sacrifice to self-awareness changes everything. When you start meeting the needs, your needs, consistently, you model healthy boundaries for your children. You show them what it looks like to value yourself. You teach them that relationships should be reciprocal, not one-sided. And here's something beautiful. Children actually feel safer when their parents have needs and boundaries. It takes the pressure off of them to be everything to you. It shows them that adults are capable of taking care of themselves, which means they don't have to. I want to address another aspect of this myth, the idea that meeting your needs means you love your children less. This is simply not true. In fact, the opposite is often the case. When you're regulated and resourced, you have more genuine love to give, not less. Think about it this way. Would you rather your child remember a mother who's always present but resentful, or a mother who took care of herself and showed up with joy? Would you rather model martyrdom or wholeness? Let me share one more story. Anna was a mother who hadn't taken a day off in 3 years. She was proud of her dedication, but she was also exhausted and starting to resent her children. When I suggested she take a weekend away, she was horrified. "Good mothers don't abandon their children," she said. But after much encouragement, she went away for 2 days. When she came back, refreshed and reconnected to herself, her 6-year-old son said, "Mama, your eyes are sparkly again." That's when she realized that her self-sacrifice wasn't serving anyone. Now, I want to be clear about something. This isn't about becoming selfish or neglecting your children's legitimate needs. It's about recognizing that you have legitimate needs too, and that meeting them actually enhances your capacity to care for others. The goal isn't perfect balance, it's conscious awareness. It's asking yourself regularly, what do I need right now? How can I meet that need in a way that works for my family? Sometimes the answer will be a 5-minute break. Sometimes it will be a bigger conversation about support or responsibilities. Your children don't need a selfless mother. They need a whole one. A mother who shows them that love includes herself too. They need to see that adults can have needs and still be loving, that taking care of yourself is part of taking care of others. This is the work of the regulated mother method. This is how we archetype families where everyone's needs matter, where well-being is valued, where love doesn't require sacrifice. In our next episode, we'll explore how to break generational patterns without blaming your parents. We'll talk about how to honor your story while writing the next one for your children. Until then, breathe. Your needs matter, and meeting them is love, not selfishness. It's about giving from your saucer, not from your cup. It's about having a cup that overflows so that you can give from that saucer. Here's your practice for this week. Choose one small need you've been ignoring. Maybe it's rest. Maybe it's asking for help. Maybe it's doing something purely for joy, and then meet that need without guilt, without apology, because when you thrive, your family thrives. If you haven't taken the Awakening Trigger Map quiz yet, head over to How Your Unique Archetype approaches self-sacrifice. Understanding your pattern is the first step to changing it. And if the Family Architect podcast is helping you reclaim your worth and transform your family, please follow the show and leave a review. Your words help other mothers find this work and give them permission to matter too. Share this episode with a mother who needs to hear that her needs are valid. Sometimes we need permission from other women to value ourselves, and your sharing might be exactly what someone needs today. Thank you for being here, for choosing wholeness over martyrdom, for showing your children what it looks like to be a woman who knows her worth. Until next time, love.